Sometimes in the scripture, as in life, there are things that are hard to understand. Now, the words we are able to grasp. We know what the words say and we know the meaning of the words. But it's the concept that's so difficult to grasp. And we look at it and we read it, we think about it, and then we say to ourselves, how could anyone do this? How can anybody do this? And it's one of those concepts that we want to look at this morning. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and in verse number 29, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 29, the Bible says, whoever troubles his own household. Why would anybody trouble their own household? That would be easier understood if it said, whoever troubles their neighbor's household. That would be easier understood if it said, whosoever troubles their enemy's household. But why would anybody upset? Why would anybody hurt their own family? Now, even without the Bible, we know that that statement is true. We see it on the news. We read about it on news feeds that come to our phones. It's called domestic violence. It's violence at home in the family. And without a Bible, we know it's true. But then, when we take Bible in hand, you don't turn many pages until we start finding and reading about multiple examples of people who trouble their own home. Genesis chapter 4, Cain commits the world's first murder. And who did Cain murder? His own brother. His own brother. So we turn a few more pages, and in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph is sold into slavery. They sold him. And then they went home and they lied to his father about what had happened to him. Now, who did this to Joseph? His own brothers did. Trouble in the family. Then, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, David's son, Amnon, rapes David's daughter, his own half-sister, Tamar. Absalom, David's another son of David, Absalom hears of this, and Absalom kills Amnon for raping his sister Tamar. That is trouble in the household. Luke chapter 13:15, the prodigal son caused all kind of heartache and problems for his father. Are you listening? Brethren, listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that outside of the Bible, and I'm telling you that inside the Bible, there were those who troubled their own households. There were those who upset and destroyed their own family. The question we want to raise about this truth of troubling your own household, the question this morning is this. Why? Why? Why would anybody do this? Why would anybody take the home that they grew up in or that they live in or their own family and just cause drama constantly? Why? I'm going to give you three reasons why this happens. Three reasons why people trouble their household. Number one, they don't love their family. They don't love their family. Now listen to me. You say, but I love my family. And people who trouble their house, look, I love my family. And here is the problem. The problem is that many people today, I might could say most people, but many people today, they don't love their family because they don't have a clue of what love is. They don't. They have no clue of what love is. Let me ask you right now, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 through 7, we're going to read God's definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, now listen to me, this is Christian love. This love in the ancient world produced a word that had never been used before. It is solely a Christian word. It's God's definition, and it was called agape. Now, God's definition of love has 15 different characteristics. Seven of those characteristics are positive, and eight of those characteristics are negative. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. This is Christian love. This is God's definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, let's step back and let's take a look at just a couple of these characteristics. Love, verse 4, is patient. The word patient there is a patience that deals with people. Not so much situations or circumstances, but with people. What this word here means is that in our relationship, it takes a long time for us to boil over. You understand what I mean, boil over? He says, verse 4, love is kind. Listen to me. There are a lot of Christians who are morally good and terribly crotchety. Hello? There are Christians who are morally good, but they're not kind. Listen to what he says. Verse 5, it does not insist on its own way. Everybody has an interest. You have your interest. Everybody else has their interest. Love, listen, your interest isn't the only interest in the world. What does he say? It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Listen to me. Love doesn't keep a mental or a physical record of what folks do to you that you don't like. Well, we quiet now, ain't we? Love bears all things. That doesn't mean it just tolerates it, but it bears up against it. Love believes all things. That doesn't mean that love is gullible. It means that love had rather trust in something than not so. Until that not so proves it can't be trusted. It hopes all things. What does that mean? That means that love is optimistic. Why does it have to always be bad? It hopes all things. Finally, it says that it endures all things. Now listen carefully to me. When Christian love is in the house, there's going to be love in the house. But it's going to be a love that protects those that are in the house. It's going to be a love that can deal with those in the house. And it's going to be a love that is secure with each other in the house. Listen to me. But if love, Christian love, if Christian love is not in the house, then trouble is going to be in the house. If love isn't in the house, trouble's going to be in the house. Now, that trouble may come in the form of jealousy. If love isn't in the house, trouble's going to be in the house, and that trouble may come in the form of hatred. That trouble may come in the form of, well, I get my feelings hurt easy. Listen. Family is relationships. It's relationships. Are you listening? Listen, in relationships, we bump into each other. In relationships, we will sometimes say things and do things that we shouldn't say and that we shouldn't do. And then many times, look, if love isn't in a house and we start bumping into each other, then people say, well, you hurt my feelings and now I'm not going to forgive you. Happy Father's Day. Listen. We don't learn love, and we don't learn forgiveness. Love and forgiveness are not principles that we learn while watching television. It is Jesus who shows us love. It is Jesus that helps us to understand and to know love. When they crucified Jesus, and prior to crucifying him, they tortured him and mocked him. They put him on, they nailed him to a cross. On that cross, he made seven statements. The first statement that he made on that cross, recorded in Luke 23 and in verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now I want you to look at the verse. Father, forgive them. Well, who is them? Well, them would include Pilate, the Roman governor, who knew Jesus was innocent, but still passed on the sentence of death. Father, forgive them. Well, who is them? It's the Jewish leaders who plotted and planned to execute him. Father, forgive them. Well, who is them? Them are the Jewish people who cried out for his blood. Well, who is them? Them are the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross. But look at the verse again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Understand that that verse is in what is called a present tense form. You say, well, what does that mean? What that means is that this is a statement that Jesus repeated over and over again on that cross. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Listen. We don't learn love from Hollywood. We learn love from Jesus. And if we don't learn about God's love, if we don't understand Christian love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm telling you, there's going to be trouble in your own household. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody just tear up their own family? Why? Because they don't love their family. And what they're saying love is in their family, that's not what love is. They don't know what it is. Number two, you are not going to like this. Just so you know, oh, I'm coming. Just so you know. Why do people tear up their own house? Why? Why do people trouble their own household? Number two, they do it because they want to take advantage of family situations. Listen, people do, listen, people trouble their own households because it's family and they know they can take advantage of it. Listen to me. There are family members who know that they can get away with anything because it's the family. You see that? There are family members, and they can get away with anything in the family, and they know that they can get away with it in the family, and things they can get away with in the family, they can't get away with anywhere else. And that's why they do it. So somebody comes, they want to borrow some money. You're not getting a nickel of that back. Not a nickel of it. Well, let me borrow some money. What is this, June? August 1st. Look, you're not getting paid back. But you family, so I'm going to take advantage of you. You look like you don't know what I'm talking about. You making me think my family is the only one involved in this. Look, I'm not the only one involved in this. You sit there with that little pious look all you want to. This you too. Listen, we've got family members. Listen, we have family members who do things in the family, and the reason they do it is because it's family and they can get away with it. They come to you and make promises. No intention of keeping them. Not a thought of keeping them. They're making promises. Now listen, you understand I'm trying to help you? Listen to me. It's these family members that push the limits. It's these family members that ratchet up the stress. It's these family members who want to take advantage because it is family. It's these family members that hurt the family. And these family members carry on the way that they carry on because they know that because it's family, that you're probably not going to call the police on them. We got the police involved now, don't we? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, they ruin their lives.
Yes.
They ruin their lives.
Yes.
And then they come to you and you're supposed to fix it. They ruin their, and if you don't fix it, they blame you.
Yes.
Oh, I'm in the house now, ain't I? It took me a while to find out where you live, but I'm in the living room right now. Amen. Listen, you mess up your life, you come to me, and now because I won't fix it, I'm to blame. There is a principle that everybody needs to learn. The principle is this: actions have consequences. Listen. The number one place, number one, that an addict goes to get money for his fix is to steal from the family. Identity theft is highest among family members. It's highest among family members. He who troubles his own household. And that's just a hard concept to grasp. Why would you want to hurt your family? Why are you doing this? Because they don't love their family. Now they think they do love their family. And what they think is love is what they're loving them with. But they don't know what it is. So they don't love their own family. They take advantage of family situations. Number three. You're going to love this. Here's why people trouble their families. Your family and mine. Here's why they do it. Because our faith is a constant friction to them. See there? Her family done tore her up with it. Our our faith is a constant friction to some of our family members. Listen, we love the Lord. Me and John Mays loves the Lord. We love the Lord. We love the church. But that drives some of our family members crazy. That just boils their oil. Now, listen to me. Because of our faith, we have to abstain from a lot of what the family gatherings are doing. I said, because of our faith, we have to abstain from some of the behavior and from some of the gatherings that our family are engaged in. But they're going to test you. They're going to test you. You know, here's his family member, God bless him. He's about to get married. And he's been married 5 times already. Look, I'm not going. I'm not going. Don't look for me. I'm not going. He got no business getting married. And you know that some of his wedding ceremonies have lasted longer than some of his marriages. Listen, marriage is an institution of God. God instituted marriage. Marriage is not something that we play with. I'm not going. Now I'm gonna tell you something else, and some of you ain't gonna like this, and I'm still going home to go to bed. Listen. Well, we going to take the baby and have the baby baptized. I'm not going. I'm not going. And the reason, now listen to me before you get mad at me. The reason I'm not going is because I don't want anybody there to think that what they're doing to this baby is something that means anything. Listen, you can pour water on a baby, but you can't scripturally baptize a baby because a baby is not subject to the gospel. Now listen to me, listen. And many times that baby will grow up and become an adult, and then you talk to that adult now about his conversion, and you start talking to him about the need of baptism, and he tells you, well, I don't need to get baptized because I was already baptized. He was not already baptized. He got wet early. They will test you. They will test you. And I'm going to be honest about this too. Because I got family too. Y'all ain't spiritual as me. And none of them look nearly as good as me. But that's a whole other deal. Listen. For some of us, the greatest pressure that is put on us is by family members. It's by family members. They want to pick at you. They want to pick at you. And boy, they love to bring your past mistakes up too. Listen. Proverbs 11. You watch this. The Bible says whoever troubles his own household But do you know that's not the end of that verse? Do you know there's something on the other side of that? God said, if you trouble your own household, you're going to inherit the wind. The wind in that verse is having reference to punishment. The wind in that verse is having reference to God's wrath. Do you know what that verse says? That verse says that if you trouble your own household, it's not going to end well for you. It's not going to end well for you. Now, family. Family is like one of the greatest blessings that a person can have. Listen to me. When everybody else is gone, you ought to be able to go home and close the door and say, bless God, it's good here. Amen. Family is one of the greatest blessings that we have. But listen to me, we gotta love. We gotta love. And we gotta forgive. So listen to me, listen. At home, think before you speak. Think before you speak. At home, practice the golden rule. I'm going to treat people here like I want them to treat me. You listen? And at home, look, let the preacher do the preaching on Sunday. Now, sometimes it will come down to Jesus or family. Because that's the corner they back you into. That's the corner they back you into. It's Jesus or family. And when it's Jesus or family, remember who died for you. Remember who died for you. Who I remember at the end of his life was Joshua. Joshua's Old Testament character, but he's a great one. Joshua filled a very huge pair of shoes in the Old Testament. Moses. Moses had led the children of Israel for 40 years, but Moses died. Listen, at some point we all gone. And Joshua stepped up. And Joshua led the children of Israel through the land of promise, through Canaan, in a marvelous way. And then Joshua came down to the end of his life, the very end of it. And when he did, he gathered the entire nation of Israel together. And this is what he said to them. In Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 15, he told them, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And that's a choice that we all have to make. Who you going to give your life to? And then he says at the end, he says, but as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Now, I want you to look real close at what he didn't say. He didn't say that as for me, that as for I and not my family, I'm gonna serve the Lord. Joshua did not say, my family, but not I, am going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, but for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. The world is filled with trouble. It's everywhere. But there's nowhere we can go. There's not trouble somewhere. But we can control the trouble at home. And the way we do it is to love. But to love as God wants us to love. And when we love each other as God wants us to love each other, we're not going to take advantage of each other. And my faith is not going to be a sticking part for you, and your faith will not be a sticking part for me if we both share the same faith. We all need a place we can go to for shelter and for help. And that place ought to be the home. But it can't be the home, and it'll never be the home as long as some of us are heading with God and the rest of us are going down the other side of the street. So this morning, it's time that we come together. You and your family, it's time that we come together. Come together with your family as one with God. And you'll have a place that you can go every night and close the door and say, thank God I can have me a few hours of peace here. Amen. But you're not going to do that without God. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you become a Christian. You say, well, how do you do that? The way God said to do it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're here this morning as a Christian, but you've lost the way, you need to come back. Quit playing at this. Quit thinking you can fix it. You tore it up. Let God help you fix it. This morning, get it together with your family. Husband and wives both need to come. Moms and daughters both need to come. Fathers and sons both need to come. If you need to respond, God give you the courage to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.